Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball Breakfast. Ireland's sports breakfast show.
And Mbappe, and look, I've been a long sceptic of Mbappe, I thought, you know, because he had it too easy.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! All right, 5 minutes past eight. Gavin Cooney, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. First of all, Colm, I'm not sure Fabio Grosso can be said to have scored a winning goal in a match that finished 2-0.
Shots fired.
I felt you were given... Del Piero scored like a minute later, and that game finished 2-0. So I was impressed that Gerry and Arthur got that, but they're giving some duff info.
How excited were you to say that?
I'm sitting here quivering.
I'd say you're saying, Arthur, is there a video coming? I can't sit in this any longer. Cut the video.
Halfway through. I heard a bit about St. Lucian sprinting. I was like, right, I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah.
And then obviously,
going off the ball. Breakfast is wacky. I'm asking these questions in good faith. Like, you know, I'm bringing the people together. If people want to punch holes at these things, right? He scored the decisive goal in the World Cup semi-final. Whatever. I'm glad you got it anyway.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Tell me this, Gav, to start this interview seriously now for once. Do you agree with Arthur's assessment? I don't know if you heard it, that like the Champions League knockout
stage
We need to frame this properly.
Because actually, Arthur has already said that you agree with this. So we don't even need to hear your answer, Gavin. He's already spoken for you. That's what friends do, apparently.
Gav, do you know what's going on at the moment?
I don't know what the question is. I won't be able to add any more depth on St. Lucian sprinting is my main worry.
You're getting distracted by St. Lucian now. This is about the Champions League knockout stages being the most consistently quality high-level sport in the world. This is Arthur's point earlier, and we were debating it, and then that's where the Olympics came in, that's where St. Lucian came in. I was suggesting maybe the All-Ireland hurling semi-finals last year were a good example of the highest form of quality in sport. But it's pretty good, Gav, the Champions League knockout stages. That's for sure.
No, I do agree with Arthur. I don't think you can be including like national sports. You have to include international sports. The Olympics is a pretty good comparison, but the football is the most played game in the world, and this is its highest level. The World Cup is its best level in terms of the emotion and how much more it means to everyone involved. But the Champions League knockouts have, for the past 10 years, been the highest expression of the most played sport in the world. So yeah, no, it's been brilliant. It's felt like we've been a long time waiting for this to come around with the extended league phase. But yeah, this March, when the evenings get a little bit longer, the Champions League knockouts are on, is definitely the best time of year.
There was an assumption when the extended league phase was built that it would automatically benefit the bigger teams. And for whatever reason, that hasn't actually yet proven to be the case. It's very early days. The sample size is one season. But because Real Madrid struggled and because Paris Saint-Germain struggled, they end up playing Atletico and Liverpool. And I actually think it's been really good. So early on, for whatever reason, those teams had some jeopardy, potentially because they're busy travelling the world, raising money to pay for their bloated squads. And managing a bloated squad isn't as straightforward maybe as we had assumed. I don't know. It feels like it's been a good tournament since the start this year. I know we're waiting for the very high quality.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this. Just as you know, like these games are kind of wallpaper on a midweek night during the winter. There's generally, because it's constructed as such, there's generally a couple of games every night between two high powered teams. So it's always a good watch. The jeopardy and the stakes aren't really there. I know you could say that PSG have been punished for starting slowly and ending up with Liverpool, but equally, Liverpool won 7 games out of 8 and have been landed with PSG, which is probably maybe their toughest potential opponent in all of the round of 16. So you have to wonder exactly how fair is that. But it's definitely an improvement on the old group phase. Like the old group phase was well past its sell-by date and was super. I know it was only 6 matches, but it was, you know, if you got one group that was kind of went down to the wire, you had to be pretty satisfied with that. So I could do without the extra 2 games. I think 6 games is probably enough rather than playing 8, because the more games you play in the league phase, the more you end up with repeat games in the knockouts, like Bruges and Villa last night. But broadly, as a change, like generally there's so many changes in football now, almost all of these changes make the game worse. This I'm not sure has made the game worse.
I'll take it that maybe Borussia Dortmund and Lille wasn't the standout game for you last night. Which of the other three would you like to start with? Because there's a lot on offer of all three.
Yeah, no, it was good. My main focus was on the Madrid derby, I have to say. Yeah. Did I expect Arsenal to score 7 goals? No, certainly not.
Sorry, that was insane, Gav. Sorry, it was like that is nuts that PSV did that.
It's crazy, yeah. I think it might be pretty shameful, to be honest. My informed and stat-based analysis here is that have Arsenal now used up all their goals?
Hello, it's Owen Chahan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football, it's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
I'm delighted to say Matthew O'Hanlon is with us all the way from sunny Sydney. Matthew, how are you?
Doing well, lads. How are we doing?
Are you missing the intercounty hurling game now that you're like living your best life down in Australia?
It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, to be honest with you. I can't say that I'm missing it. It's 25 degrees on the 5th of March here in Sydney, so I'm definitely not missing the trek down to Ferns and Wexford, where it's probably a lot colder and wetter and more miserable than it is here right now.
Was it always your plan to retire at this, like this year, this stage of your actual non-hurling career? Was there always a kind of an end date in mind for you?
Yeah, I suppose I've been thinking about it for the last couple of years. And my intention was, whenever I did hang up the boots, that I'd make the move down here. It's a nice segue out of the game into retirement. New environment, new challenge, new city, and doing something that I probably would have done earlier in my career had it not been for hurling. I suppose the end of 23, my girlfriend moved down here, and that was kind of the shove I needed to make sure that I, you know, make the move. So my back played my last season. I kind of knew throughout that season that was probably going to be my last one, but at the same time, didn't make my retirement decision on final till the end of the year. So it was hard to walk away from.
Because I guess it's one of those things that is, like, it's spoken about, right? But how you kind of need to put your many aspects of your life on hold while you pursue an intercounty career. And it's not a 100% everything is on hold, because you're obviously going out in the world and having a career, but you just can't quite do everything that you'd like to do. And that's the trade-off.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I made the decision to stay and play with Wexford. I'm absolutely delighted with my career and what I managed to achieve there. And I always wanted to live and work abroad. I managed to scratch that itch in the off season and, you know, took my couple of months when we had time off to get away and see some of the world. But yeah, it's quite hard to do that when 9 months of the year you're tied up with intercounty championship and training that comes with it.
Is your intention to like live in Australia forever? Is that or is this like a short term thing? Do you think?
I suppose there's a lot of variables right now. It's probably a short-term thing. Grab the visa until the end of 2026 and we'll survey the situation then, see how we are. Both their families are back home and we're quite close to them, so don't want to be too far away for too long, but want to take advantage of being this side of the world and getting around Australia, New Zealand, Japan and this side of the world that I haven't had managed to see so far.
One of the things I'm really interested in, you were heavily involved with the GPA, and so you got a full understanding of exactly the benefits of being an inter-county player and the drawbacks. And I think sometimes other sports seem to fully realise the benefits of being involved at a high level. Rugby does it very well in Ireland, for example. And I wonder if maybe there's more opportunity for GAA to lean into the opportunities for the inter-county players and to put the best foot forward, as opposed to us always kind of framing it as, oh, you had to put your life on hold, which I've literally just fallen into that trap myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the originally when I got involved in the GPA was because I wanted to ensure the guys were looking after themselves off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And that meant, you know, ensuring guys had access to services that they need to grow a business, get a scholarship to further their education or get guidance on where they're going with their career. Because we all know players earlier, I suppose 10, 15 years ago, that had, you know, jobs that kept them in a certain place to allow them to play. And then once they were surplus to retirements or surplus to requirements, they were left on the scrap heap, potentially not much of a career to fall back on. So I think the GPA have done great work, and Tom and the team there continue to, in terms of supporting the players and making sure that they've got an eye on what they're doing outside of the pitch to progress themselves. And it's in a far better place now than it was when I started back in 2011. But yeah, I do take your point. I think there's strides to be made there. I can't remember the figures that the most recent research was in terms of the contribution to the economy from GAA. It goes without saying that anything that can be done to help players in their career off the pitch will be of benefit to them, you know.
To listen to this morning's full Off the Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.